Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio.
I'm Jason Rosenbaum in for Elaine Cha. Libraries have served for years as a critical music repository. In fact, when I was a youngster growing up in suburban Chicago, I discovered bands like In Excess and Queen after browsing my local library's vast CD collection. And when I eventually moved to St. Louis in 2010, the multitude of libraries here introduced me to new genres of music, such as, and I kid you not, Christian screamo bands like Devil Wears Prada and Under Oath. Nowadays, many people have ditched CDs and instead indulged in streaming services such as Apple Music or Spotify. And for nearly a decade, the St. Louis County Library used an e-media platform called BiblioBroad to showcase local musical acts to the region. The collection is called Listen Up STL, and this program is accepting local musicians' original works or covers of music that is in the public domain. Joining us now to talk about Listen Up STL is Sarah Kunz-Jones, Assistant Manager, Grand Glaze Branch at the St. Louis County Library. Sarah, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, before I begin, did I pronounce that incorrectly? Is it BiblioBroad?
It is BiblioBroad. You're absolutely right. On the second try.
I deserve all the scorn and hate for doing a poor job of pronouncing that correctly. So Listen Up St. Louis got its start at St. Louis County Library in 2016. So it's coming up on 10 years of local music curation. What was the purpose of getting Listen Up St. Louis up and running?
Yeah, well, St. Louis has a breadth of amazing musical talent. And so we wanted to give local musicians a platform where they could be heard, a chance to amplify their efforts. And BiblioBroad is a wonderful collection that allows for community input. So it's a way that we can connect musicians with a broader audience.
So walk me through this. How can library patrons connect with this music? What do they have to do to connect to BiblioBroad?
Sure. Well, BiblioBroad is a kind of like many of our databases where you would access it through the library's website, slcl.org. And there's a tab, Books, E-Media, and More. And when you get to that spot, it has a little tab for local authors and music. And so you click on that. It takes you to the resource. You can sign up with your library card, but it also allows you to access certain collections like Listen Up STL for free, but just you'd have to know where to find it. So going through those steps will give you access to that platform.
And do you know how many local artists have offered up their music to this program thus far? It can be an approximation. I don't need like the exact number, but I'm curious how many people have taken advantage of this.
So through last year's open submission period in August, we had 294 albums that had been added to the collection with kind of a lull during the COVID years and the recovery years. So there are bands who are represented multiple times in the collection, but there are, you know, that many, many albums over the 10 years.
What has been the feedback from the artists about being included in Listen Up STL?
There's a lot of excitement, I think, for people who are playing music, recording music, for the love of it, for the outlet it provides, for the creativity they're able to expend. This gives them an opportunity to have it exist out in the larger world that they can direct friends and families to. And we've been able to have other kinds of relationships with some of the bands. The Ragged Blade Band, for example, is one we've had do library programs with us about the history of blues and that sort of thing. So it can create better, you know, bigger opportunities for them.
Have you found there's a real interest for people to discover St. Louis-based musicians rather than, say, contemporary artists who are from places outside of the region?
I think St. Louisans are very interested in local things in general. We are very proud of the creativity we have in our communities. We have such a wealth of artists in general, whether it's in music, writing, and visual arts. And so I think people are excited to enjoy live music. And a lot of the bands that are contributing are folks who play, you'll find at a coffee shop or at a restaurant playing on the weekend. So
what are some of the guidelines that people need to follow in order to be part of this collection?
Sure. So it is a massive undertaking on our end. So in order for it to kind of manage that, we do ask that the bands have or that the artists are submitting work that has at least 3 tracks in order to be considered an album, and to have it should be original music or music that's in the public domain and include original cover art.
No, you mentioned public domain. Have mm-hmm. you gotten any public domain songs, like maybe a ska version of Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star or something like that?
That would be amazing. I would love to hear that.
You could do the Skankin' Pickle while you're listening to Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star.
Absolutely could. And I would hope that someone would record that for our social media. We do have bands that submit kind of, you know, blues standards and things like that. The Gateway Harmonica Club of St. Louis, they submitted albums that are full of those sorts of things. So that's just one example.
Is there any prohibition on songs with profanity or songs that have unsettling or violent themes?
We, as a library, we don't believe in censorship. So if it's not violating our code of conduct or something that we would include in the collection in physical form, it's not something that we're going to keep out of the collection.
One of the first things I did when I moved to St. Louis in 2010 was getting a library card. And along with books, I would check out CDs. Producer Maya Norfleet shared with me that when she was a kid at the Shafley branch mm-hmm. in St. Louis public library system had just opened, she started checking out music there. And she remembers the first CD she checked out, Africa Bambaataa, because I guess that started with an A. Obviously, you know all about the library now, but before you started your career, did you associate music with libraries?
Absolutely. The library was also instrumental in me figuring out my musical taste as a teenager. I started going actually to the branch that I where I work now. That was my branch growing up, and I remember going into the stacks. We had LPs back then, and cassettes in little blue pouches, and I brought so many of those home and wore them out if I could.
I do have to ask this question. When people checked out CDs from the library, was it assumed among librarians that the patron would copy the songs onto their iPhone or their computer?
You know, what people do once they take it out of the library, we try not to worry about too much. But yeah, I'm sure that's happening.
I'm interested to hear, like, what sort of challenges that type of scenario present to libraries who offer up music to check out, because I'm sure that the music companies are not thrilled about that possibility. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, if you check out a book, I'm sure people are copying a couple of pages from it, especially if it's a nonfiction book they're using for school. Can you kind of talk about that potential tension there?
Yeah, actually, I've been interconnected with the local music scene here for almost my life. And I had a conversation when I started working for the library with someone who does pretty well for himself. And he was like, oh, I love the library, but I don't love necessarily that people get to have my album for free, but the library is buying the copies. It's a way of connecting. I think talking about our backgrounds, it's a way that people discover artists that they're going to go and pay to see perform live, buy merchandise, maybe buy later records. And I know the stuff that I, you know, listened to as a kid are things that I bought copies of myself at various times, probably multiple copies of things as formats change. So I don't think they're losing out necessarily.
Yeah, I have bought the CD version and the vinyl version of Weezer's The Blue Album.
I mean, yeah.
And Pinkerton as well. Nice. Do you think the fact, though, that this program is on an e-media service Biblioboard reduces some anxiety about patrons doing questionably legal things with the music they check out?
I mean, I think that that probably helps that it's, you know, self-contained on a proprietary platform that the you know, it gives the artists, you know, some control still over, you know, who's having access to it and what they can do with it. So, yeah, I hope that's a benefit to it.
I'm interested in your opinion on this. How has the ubiquitousness of Apple Music and Spotify affected how libraries offer music to patrons? And for people who don't know what those services are, they are streaming services where you can like type in a song and then listen to it on demand, which, you know, wasn't the case, and it wasn't as widely available 10, 15 years ago, which is why places like libraries were so vital for offering music to people. Yeah. So talk about how that's changed, how libraries offer up music.
Sure. So I think people, there's a huge portion of our patronage who aren't interested in having the technology relationship that a lot of us do have. So they want those physical items in their hands. We have people who come in who are looking for back catalogs of artists, and they're delighted to have those CDs. It makes it difficult because the libraries can't compete in that track for track the way that, you know, Apple and Spotify and those kinds of things, how they function. But we do have also Hoopla Digital, which allows people to check out albums that are in that collection. And there are limitations on how many you can borrow a month. But that is kind of the only music streaming option that we have in addition to Biblioboard. So
now, I mentioned several times about how libraries were often a repository for physical CDs. Yeah. Is that becoming less and less common at libraries now that people are becoming more comfortable with streaming services?
I haven't noticed our CD collections shrink. I've been with the library for about 8 years. And while magazines, for example, have really drastically declined in terms of what publishers are willing to put in libraries rather than the newsstand, I haven't really noticed that kind of echo in our CD collection.
Yeah, I would imagine at some point before CDs, libraries were offering up vinyl records.
Yes, we were, yeah.
But I haven't seen vinyl records at libraries for a while, though I'm sure that the St. Louis County Library has them.
We don't have vinyl any longer, but I'm trying to remember. I think one came through our branch that somebody had requested from elsewhere. So if there's somebody, we have a partnership. I don't know if SLPL still has some because they tend to hold on to things. Their collection works a little differently than St. Louis County. But if somebody's got a LP out there, they might be able to request it and have it sent their way.
So Listen Up STL is one of many opportunities that the St. Louis County Library offers to patrons where they can listen to local music throughout the year. And here I thought we were supposed to hush up in libraries. What are some other music programs at the St. Louis County Library that you would like to discuss?
Yeah. Libraries are not always quiet. We still have quiet places, but we have a Sunday concert series at our Clark Family Branch on September 14th at 2 p.m. We have a Sheldon Concert Fall series with vocalist Anita Jackson. Sorry, it's a preview of their concert series. And we also have a monthly Music Mondays Unplugged at Florissant Valley. The next session of that is on September 8th with the Demarius Hicks Quartet. We have a jazz jam at Lewis and Clark on Thursday nights. That is the first Thursday of every month. And that is a fantastic time. And that's been going for a couple of years now.
So I have disclosed my love for Christian Screamo music. Maya Norfleet, our producer, talked about Afrika Bambaataa. What were some musical acts that you discovered through the library?
That is a great question. So I think personally, Oh, I'm catching me off guard. I've suddenly drawn a blank.
I am so sorry.
No, it's all right. It's not your fault. I have looked at so many, and I'm trying to, and the name has just escaped, filtered right out of my brain. But we have such a huge variety of things. I mean, pop and rock are well represented. Folk music is really well represented. We have a lot of folks who don't want to put a label on their work. So we have like over 60 albums in a kind of a miscellaneous catch-all category. But I'd love to see more blues or jazz in our collection.
So shifting away from us, mm-hmm. have you heard from library patrons that have gotten a chance to enjoy music programming at St. Louis County Library? And what has been kind of the overall feedback about the entirety that you offer to them?
The entirety of like
just
the
music
system
programming? Listen Up STL, yeah. the events that you just mentioned.
I think people really appreciate ways to engage with the community that don't require them to spend money. I think, you know, that's, you know, I think one of our biggest strengths is that we're providing access without asking for much in return.
Yeah. And I mean, we're at a time when people are looking at inflationary pressures mm-hmm. and food is, we got to feed our families. So yeah. having the opportunity to get access to local music and contemporary music without having to pay for it in a legal way,
right.
I want to just mention.
Yes.
I mean, that there is something to that that I think people really need right now.
I would agree. And I think it gives us also an opportunity to help them raise awareness about what else the library offers too while they're visiting us for the music.
In the last 30 seconds, are there any genres of music that you'd be curious to see more of in the Listen Up STL collection?
Yeah, I would love more. Well, you don't have much R&B. That would be really great to see as well. And if people want to record, they can come to the Clark Family Library to use our recording studio as well.
Sarah Kuntz-Jones is the assistant manager of the Grand Glaze branch at St. Louis County Library. Sarah, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
And the deadline to submit music to Listen Up STL is August 31st. Learn more by visiting at slcl.org.
This episode was produced by Maya Norfleet.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Doerr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations and leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.